Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Gentry, we've talked a lot about the Ryan Tannehill press conference this morning and just his demeanor during the press conference. Obviously, they've drafted Malik Willis last year and now Will Levis this year. And we'll get your thoughts on the Will Levis pick here in just a few minutes. But what was your takeaway from Ryan Tannehill and his demeanor at the press conference yesterday and kind of where he's at right now heading into this season with what the Titans have now done in the draft?
Yeah, you know, I wrote that I don't feel like he was evasive on a lot of tough questions. I felt like he was detached. And that's two different things. He just kept saying, I'm doing my job. It's not my job to do these other things running the team. I'm doing what I can do to help us win. And I mean, I think that's true. I think he's been around the team, involved in workouts. You hear other players talk about meetings with coaches. I think Tannehill has very quietly been a lot more involved at this time of year than maybe it was a year ago where – He was coming off that game against Cincinnati. I think this year he has been more of a leader to some of the guys coming back. And, you know, you see this and you know that press conference is going to have some uncomfortable questions just given everything that's happened this offseason. You know, Tannehill handled it about like you would expect and how he has during his time here. But after a while, you know, you kind of start feeling a little sorry for the guy. You know, I'm sitting up there and I wonder – what exactly has Ryan Tannehill done to deserve this, to lose his job, to have speculation that, you know, he shouldn't be the starter? It's like we've all kind of decided that Ryan Tannehill shouldn't be the quarterback anymore, and why?
No, it's a very fair point. And, I mean, I think I'll point back to, you know, his playoff performance. I mean, look, that changed how I looked at him, to be honest, because it was just such a disaster in a huge moment and against a team that, you know, they should have beat in a game. They had 9 sacks, but like you just, I mean, I just said this earlier, Gentry, when will they have quarterback play that will rise to the level of his highest level here? I mean, it's a pretty high bar. And just imagine if they, in the last two drafts, just tried to help him, you know, like the third round pick last year, but also, you know, not moving up this year. So you then not taking a quarterback, you take another player to help him potentially. I mean, I guess you could pick a defensive player too. And then you're in position to take one of those receivers in the third round. I mean, things will look a lot different for him, him right now and his prospects. But I mean, I feel like this year, if they have success, he's going to have to be incredible, right? Even if the offensive line is way better.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look over the course of his time here, the talent has progressively gotten worse and worse on that side of the ball. And that's, you know, not to mention trading away one of the best receivers in the league at one point. So, you know, given what Tannehill's accomplished here, I've always had a lot of respect for him. I hear you on the playoff game. I think that's what everybody kind of goes back to is, you know, hey, maybe this isn't a guy who can get the Titans over the hump. Maybe so. But I agree, it is a very high bar. And you know, talking with people about Will Levis a little bit here since Friday, probably the most frequent comp that I've heard is Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I've heard several people say that. Like, I think he can end up being a Tannehill. In other words, I think with Levis, I think the floor is probably higher than people think, but the ceiling is lower. And I think a lot of the people who know his game the best suspect he could be a capable, competent NFL quarterback, but not a superstar. In other words, that's what you think of when you say Ryan Tannehill.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Gentry, I'm interested for your thoughts on this because I realize there's now a different general manager in place and the dynamic in the front office has changed. But we've seen the Titans in the last 2 years trade away A.J. Brown. They've drafted Treylon Burks. And they've had, you know, several holes in their wide receiver room. And now you've gone through an offseason where you don't make really any add of significance in free agency. And you spend a 7th round pick on wide receiver. I realize it's May the 4th, and the season doesn't start until September, but do you believe the Titans are too casual with their approach to wide receiver?
Robbie, the answer to that question, since I've been covering this team for 4 years, has been yes. I know that's both GMs, I guess, at this point. And the one exception to that would have been the Julio Jones trade, which I was very much on board with that at the time. Didn't work out. So there's that. But I do think from the standpoint of I don't see how I would have never dreamed going into that draft last week that the Titans would be sitting there going into the seventh round having not drafted a wide receiver. That just made no sense to anybody. I mean, I think everybody expected, you know, as we've all said, there were two big needs going into this, wide receiver and O-line. They did a really good job in the first round, I thought, on Skoronski, with Skoronski coming in. That, to me, was by far my favorite pick of this draft. I was proud of the Titans for that. They didn't, you know, do all these things that the rumor said they were going to do. They didn't, you know, trade away everything to move up. And I was proud. That was a solid, safe first-round pick, and they haven't made too many of those here lately. But to not get a receiver, yeah, that to me just, you know, it overshadows a lot of what you did accomplish or what you could accomplish with a draft haul that I think we're not going to know really a lot about here for a few years. They've got some guys who could end up paying off pretty well, the quarterback, the running back, some others.
What's your least favorite pick?
Ooh, that's probably Levis. I mean, I'm just being honest about that. I didn't love the Levis pick, but I liked it a lot better in the second round than I would have in the first round.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what did you make of the Tyjae Spears pick as well in the third round? Obviously, you know, you watch him play, and, you know, especially the USC game, and he just tore him up. And then you hear about the medical reports coming out after, and you spent a third-round pick on a guy that could be, you know, a third-down back. What did you make of that pick?
You know, honestly, to revisit my earlier answer, that's probably the least favorite, but it has nothing to do with Tyjae Spears. I think that guy could be a really good player. I mean, you watch his highlights, and he's a real problem for defenses. I see why you would want him. I just, from the standpoint of where the Titans were in the draft, that I just don't see how you don't draft a wide receiver there. And you know, going back to what I didn't like more than anything about taking Levis was the fact that you gave up some real estate in the third round this year and that you had next year's third round pick to do it. Now, I understand you probably had to do that. If you wanted Will Levis, given that the Rams and some other teams were sitting right there, you probably had to do that to move up and get him. So, you know, just me personally, when you look at the Titans on that second day, you didn't need a quarterback in the second round necessarily. You didn't need a running back in the third round. They drafted two backups over the biggest need on the team at receiver. That would have been my problem with it.
So at receiver, Gentry, clearly a lot of hope invested in Treylon Burks. And he's basically got to be wide receiver one. How do you view the rest of the room, and do you anticipate, and do you take Vrabel's comments and the post-draft presser as kind of there's something in mind that they have, or just sort of like placate everyone and just stop asking about receivers? You know, you never know what might happen.
That's a good question. I don't know. It was probably the placate everyone. They might have something in mind. I don't know, but if you look at really what's out there and who's available right now, I don't really see it. I you know, maybe there's some trade or something they can do. And you know, they have, I will say, with a lot of the moves leading up to the draft, they did create some financial flexibility that wasn't there for a while. So I do feel like if there's something out there that makes sense, they would have a little bit of a cushion to go do it. But I just, you know, I think what stood out to me from what Vrabel said was that, you know, they kept following the board. Every answer, it seemed like, had to do with their board. And, you know, he said when they picked that it was never close to a receiver on their board, and said, okay. But, you know, I think that's always the question, right, in any draft is need versus best player available. And, you know, the Titans keep saying they're there at some point, somebody in the room probably needs to look around and go, hey, guys, we need a wide receiver.
Right. Yeah, no question. 6-1.
Yeah, Need should have some say in the matter.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Retro. Gentry, great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean, our guest on Robbie and Retro. We'll take more of your thoughts on the Titans, react to what Gentry had to say there. And I'll throw the question out to Joe and to you all. Do you believe the Titans are too casual with their approach at wide receiver? We'll get into that coming up next as well. Make sure you join 102.5 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls, coming up on June the 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes. You can sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Did you think or expect a wide receiver might get drafted by this team before number 228?
They don't ask me, you know, my thoughts on draft picks. You know, Mike and Rand make those decisions. Obviously, you know, I knew it was an area that could be addressed, but they did just a little bit probably later than I thought it was going to. But we added some other key positions, some talent that will help us across the board.
That was Ryan Tannehill yesterday addressing the media after the Titans draft and discussing the wide receiver room added in the seventh round in the 2023 NFL draft. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Middle Tennessee for 20 years. We are streaming live as well on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook today and every single day. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. So, Joe, we've talked about this before, and Paul Kuharski's brought this up with us a few times as well, the approach that the Titans have at the wide receiver position. And we know it's a new general manager now. We know the A.J. Brown stuff, all those things that we've talked about a million times at this point. And Rand Carthon is now the general manager, and we get through, you know, the first part of this offseason through free agency and now through the draft, and very minimal work has been done to improve the wide receiver position. So my question to you is, Joe, do you consider the Titans to be too casual in their approach to the wide receiver position?
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. It's well, look, go back to Corey Davis. And Corey Davis leaving. So we're going back to the 2020 season. You're talking about, I'd say, the best Tennessee Titans offense in Nashville in the Titans era of all time. And the willingness to let Corey Davis go. Now, I think the thinking in the building then wasn't, this kind of goes back to the NWI thing I wrote back then, but it's like, when you have Derrick Henry and you have A.J. Brown, then that other, like, a lot of people can do that other job.
Right.
I think that's fine. I would say right now, that now that we've seen it play out, Corey Davis was certainly underwhelming in New York, right?
Yes.
And he's fine. I mean, he's still better player than NWI. But, like, I get that. I think that there's some truth to it, and I think it's fine if you have, you know, if you have someone who manipulates the defense so much that, like, some people are just going to get, like, great matchups and man coverage and, you know, and be able to take advantage. So I think that's part of the mindset. Obviously, the problem is then you trade away A.J. Brown, and what do you have? So it looks that way. I think that the Titans were telling the truth about the board. And like Gentry said last segment, it's just, I mean, I asked Rand during one of the presses, I guess it would have been Friday night, like, does need ever trump the board, you know? And I should, before I bring something like that up, I should have his response in front of me. But basically, I mean, I'd say basically he said no. Now, to me, at times, like Gentry said, there's got to be some semblance of, like, okay, this guy's, you know, a few spots below this guy, but this position group is a disaster for us. This is not some huge reach, and I don't know that's the case. Maybe all the receivers that were left for them when they drafted Tajay Spears were just so far away. I still feel like Tyler Scott could have been a good pick there.
Yeah,
Tyler Scott went later than expected. I mean, like, Brugler is a huge Tyler Scott fan, was blown away how late he went. Who knows? Well, you know, somebody who went lower there will probably be good, and we'll look at it in retrospect and say, man, they should have taken that guy. But that was a spot, unless there's just a huge gap where, man, I think you've got to go receiver there. I think some of your question, though, Robbie, also has to do with the history. So is it over all these years, their inability? I think it's more just bad choices than nonchalance, isn't it? I mean, they tried with Justin Hunter. They tried with Kendall Wright. They tried with DGB. You know, right. They tried with Julio, and, you know, like, they've tried.
Right, but I guess I specifically mean since Vrabel's been head coach, right? Like, I mean, you had A.J. Brown, and we know that Vrabel was not a big fan of the A.J. Brown trade. It was pretty clear to watch that all take place. And you drafted, yeah, Treylon Burks. But, like, last year, I mean, you got Treylon Burks, you know, Robert Woods. You tried to address it. You tried to address it with Julio Jones, and a lot of what they've done hasn't worked out. So you get to this offseason, and you know how important it is to get the wide receiver part of this figured out. But it's also like, as we've talked about, you looked at the free agent class. It's not good. Like, it's not a good class of wide receivers in free agency. So, like, the reason I'm bringing it up is I've heard a lot of the Titans are too casual in their approach to wide receiver. And I get the thinking behind that. But it's also like, well, they traded for Julio Jones. It didn't work. They did trade for Robert Woods last year, and it didn't work. Like, the moves that they've made just haven't worked. Now, nobody can excuse the A.J. Brown trade. I get all that. But, like, this offseason, other than the draft, which I can agree with everybody who says they should have addressed wide receiver before the draft. There's no question about it. Like, what free agent wide receiver would you have been okay with the Titans just pouring out some money to this offseason? I'm not saying that nobody on the list would have been worthy of consideration, and they did go get Chris Moore. I get that, but that's not moving the needle a whole lot in this offense. My question really is, like, are they too casual, or have they just made the wrong choices?
Don't forget Josh Reynolds.
Yes.
That was another attempt that he'd been very good. That's the thing. Like, Josh Reynolds and Robert Woods in the Rams offense, which is the closest comp to how the Titans run their offense of that new Shanahan, you know, of the modern Shanahan. I mean, both those guys were great there, you know, and then come here and aren't. So,
Marcus, yeah, Johnson, question. Too?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. And he was kind of he was actually a good find, you know, a low cost good find. And yeah, that guy was good when he was healthy. Yeah. So they've tried a lot. I mean, the question is totally fair right now because, yes, you're right. The free agency crop was bad, just bad. And look, how many times do we say, well, boy, are they going receiver and are they going receiver heavy in this draft? They have to, right? So I respect the big board. I think over a long haul, the teams that stick to that, and you got to have a good big board, but, you know, the teams that stick to that over time are better for it because you're prioritizing just getting the best football players you can get, and you never know, your depth chart can, so many different things can happen. I do think that this particular draft, this team trying to be competitive this season,
yeah,
had to be a little bit like, guys, one way or another, a receiver's got to be landed here. I mean, they could have, and with how much talk was there about them grabbing, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba, yeah, you know, at 11. I mean, somewhere. And that is where it's like, maybe step back a little bit, you know, during the process and say, like, we got to address this, right? So that makes your question more than fair. Again, it also, though, the other part of this that I tried to, you know, get at asking Vrabel, and you know, he's never going to really tip his hand at what he thinks about people, but does this reflect some confidence in some people they have now that we don't have on the outside?
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey and Donaldson. Corey, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks, fellas. Enjoy your show, man. I listen to it every morning. And I just wanted to maybe throw something out there. Maybe you guys have talked about it already, but I wanted to get your thoughts on maybe this theory. But how do you guys think the quality of maybe this draft class and perhaps even next year's draft class, specifically like in rounds 3 through 7, how does like the COVID year, you think, maybe impact that, in that you have these, you know, players who are granted an extra year of eligibility, so you may have these players in college 5, maybe even 6 years, kind of all jumbled in with a new crop of talent that's coming out of high school. You know, it may not impact the top rounds with just the top talent, but is there any thoughts to maybe that the class being just better quality, so what you get in the 4th, 5th, 6th round may be better players just by sheer volume? So I appreciate you taking my call. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's a great question. What do you make of that, Joe?
I've not thought about that or heard that, but I mean, that's really interesting. Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, effects. You know, one thing is different, but when he mentions the COVID years, you know, the 5th-year options, someone did a study recently, and you know, there's a dip for those guys, you know, taken in the 20 draft, which I don't think is a coincidence, right? I mean, you had a limitations in evaluation. That's different from what he's talking about, but that is a really interesting thing to consider. The fact that you just had that extra time to develop and be in college, and some of those guys are maybe a little more mature. So that's really interesting. I could see it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans and the wide receiver room. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll get to those coming up next. Also, a Preds thought that I want to throw out there as well that I was thinking about yesterday as I've watched the Stanley Cup playoffs kind of unfold here, that is directly related to Barry Trotz and how he's going to build the team as they move forward. We'll get into all that coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds taking on the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit, so looking forward to that. Throwing the question out there, Are the Titans too casual when it comes to their approach at wide receiver? John in Nashville says, you're assuming Traylon will not improve this year. AJ was not off the wall good his first year as well. I keep hearing this, like AJ Brown like was not great his rookie year. And I'm like, guys, did y'all watch AJ Brown play his first year? He had over 1,000 yards receiving and was a bona fide number one wide receiver by the time his rookie year was done.
About 20 yards a catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. First game, I'm not saying about 70 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm not saying Traylon Burks won't improve and can't be good. But, like, if you want to compare Traylon Burks' rookie year and A.J. Brown's rookie year, like, it's really not close. A.J. Brown was much better. Now, he was more available, but he was much better.
That's part of being much better, too.
Right.
Yeah, it's worlds apart. So, no, I'm not saying he can't improve either at all. But I think the texture there thinks that if he does, then problem solved. I mean, Traylon Burks, reasonable improvement, realistic improvement. Look, if he becomes a bona fide number one receiver, that's fantastic for the Titans. Even if he does, you know, who else is out there? Like, you do have to have, like, you got to have more than that, I think. Now, if the offensive line is truly fixed, well, okay, and he becomes number one receiver. And the tight ends, you know, the new tight end is good too, and Chig takes a step. I mean, you can talk yourself into a good offense. I also look at the offensive line, and I'm seeing a backup, a second-year tackle who had ups and downs as a rookie, a guy who's never played center as a starter who is a bit undersized,
yep,
and a rookie. So, it may be way better, but I think we're taking a leap if we just assume that.
Joe, real quickly before I get to my Preds thought here, some news that Albert Breer put out there. The Titans are hiring Falcons college scouting director Anthony Robinson as assistant GM per his sources. He's second to get that title under Rand Carthon. Robinson will oversee scouting, and fellow assistant GM Chad Brinker will oversee football operations. Similar structure to Philly and Cleveland was the tweet that Albert Breer put out there. So what do you make of kind of the structure of the Titans front office right now with a couple of assistant GMs, now adding Anthony Robinson of the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah, I was wondering, you know, I figured soon after the draft we'd kind of have some clarity on is there someone new? Because, look, Ryan Cowden, I mean, you know, Ryan Cowden has still been employed this whole time, and that's what happens. You know, a new GM comes in, and the entire, really, the old staff, it's like, okay, it's a really weird, kind of weird situation in the NFL, but it makes sense. It's like, you don't have time to, like, switch over everything, so he brought in Brinker, but for the most part, it was the old staff working on this draft, including Ryan Cowden. I mean, I never saw, like, Ryan Cowden ever on, you know, any shots of the draft room or anything like that, but he's been employed by the Titans. To me, this would have been him if they were keeping him. And of course, you know, Cowden and Monty Ossenfort both were up for this GM job. Ossenfort gets the Cardinals job. I still think Ryan Cowden is a guy who could be a GM in this league, and I would expect that at some point, but now I would expect he's out based on this news. That's not been made official, but that would be my expectation, that for him, it would be better for his career to go somewhere else and be, you know, higher in a structure. Maybe not, but I think that's what this signifies. That, you know, so you got two new, I guess it's number 2A and number 2B under, yep, Rand Carthon. Breer has tweeted that before, too, about the Titans' analytics and everything they do, that it's very similar to Cleveland. Some people may not like that, but really, other than the Watson contract, Cleveland has done a great job of building a roster.
Yep, for sure. Like I said, we'll have Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get back into the Titans and all things NFL with him as well. Joe, I do want to run this by you. First off, the Predators had their press conference in Milwaukee yesterday. Did not name another head coach. It was a affiliation announcement between the Predators and the Milwaukee Admirals.
Darn.
And they have extended their agreement for another couple of years. So, everybody calm down on that front. I did not think that they were going to announce Carl Taylor as the head coach in Milwaukee yesterday, and they certainly did not do that. So that's one thought on that front. I was doing Preds Insiders yesterday, and it was interesting to kind of take a look around the playoffs and the way things have transpired so far. And it made me think of Barry Trotz and the way that he's going to have to build this roster. And, you know, we probably don't have enough time to fully get into this discussion, and we can revisit it at some point. But it got me thinking, like, is the way that NHL teams build their roster going to have to change? And what I mean by that is, like, how important is the goaltender position really? We know how important UC Saros is to the Predators, and we know how great he was down the stretch. But with the way the game is now, like, we've always kind of compared goaltender to quarterback in football, right? Like, it's unequivocally the most important position, and you got to have one. And I'm not saying that goaltending's not important, but I look at the playoffs, the teams left in the playoffs, and the league, and the way it's trended over the course of the last couple of years, where scoring has been up, and I wonder, like, is being able to score your way out of trouble, for lack of a better term, like, is that going to be the most important thing moving forward? And just think about who you think the top goaltenders are in the league. My guess is it's some combination of Andre Vasilevsky, Igor Shesterkin,
out.
UC Saros,
out.
Ilya Sorokin, the guy who's going to win the Vezina Trophy this year, Linus Ullmark,
out.
All of them are out, and some of them didn't make the playoffs. So again, I'm not saying that goaltending's not important, but like the Edmonton Oilers, right, and they lost last night, I get that. But the Oilers last night and throughout the playoffs, what makes the Oilers really good is that no lead is safe. Like, they can score their way out of trouble. Toronto's the same way. Like, Samsonov's been fine so far in the playoffs, but they can score their way out of trouble. The Florida Panthers can score their way out of trouble. So it just makes me wonder, like, again, I'm not saying that UC Saros isn't important. I'm not saying that it's not important to have a good goaltender, but I think with the way the game is going, Joe, it is more important than ever to be able to have an offensive, you know, enough offensive punch to you to be able to score your way out of trouble. And I think if you're a new general manager, or even a general manager that's been at a team for a while now, like, you got to build your roster to be more offensive with the way that the game is changing in the NHL. We see, look, the NHL goes through cycles all the time, right? Like when the Kings were winning in 2012, 2014, the style was, oh, we got to get heavy. Like everybody's got to get heavier, and they got to play that big, physical, heavy game. And then Pittsburgh started winning a couple cups, and it was, oh, we got to get speed and we got to get skill. So, like, there's all sorts of, like, changes to the style of play in the league. But the league has been very offensive the last couple of years, and I think they like that, and I think they want that, and I think that's the way the game's going to continue to go.
I agree with you. I will say, I mean, I watched Dreisaitl's fourth goal last night, you know, and it's like, gosh, if only you had a little bit of goaltending with this team, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I think you're right. I do think that, and I think I think that's the way things are trending. I think that's the way things are going. Well, I think also at some point here, we're going to see a team make a run because of some goaltender who goes nuts. I still think that's going to be a thing. But from the Preds' perspective on this, just hammers home, not even if this doesn't necessarily relate directly to it, but to me it just reminds you this is why the Preds must take one of these goaltenders and turn them into offense. But to your point, that's the thing too. It's like if goaltending is devalued a little bit in favor of, you know, offense, does that change that equation a little bit for them? I still believe one of those guys will bring a haul back and that they have to do that at some point, not too far in the future.
I can't wait for the text of people accusing me of saying UC Saros is not important to the Predators. It's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying.
Tweet it. Tweet that headline.
I'm just saying that, you know, you look around the league right now and you got to be able to score. Maddie on the text line says, Robbie, I hope that's not true. If so, we're toast at 2 goals per game. And I'm not necessarily talking about like right now, but just like if you're Barry Trotz building the roster. And he kind of, like in a way, kind of alluded to this when he was first hired. Yeah. Like you got to be, he wants to be more offensive. And look, every general manager gets up there and says, well, we want to be bigger and faster and stronger and all this other stuff. But he's made kind of a pretty consistent point since he's, you know, been announced that he's going to take over the job, is they need to get more offensive. And I just wonder, with the way the game is changing, is that going to change how general managers choose to build their team as they move forward? Just a thought I had as the playoffs continue to go on, and we got some wild scores out there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. Charles Robinson at 8 o'clock. All that ahead. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN, 1025 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go, 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 White Sox.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Joe Rexroad's rant of the day. It'll either be the Rex Rant, the Rob Rant, or the Red Rant every day at 7:45. So make sure you check that out every day here on the program. The Chicago White Sox, that apparently have a song, are coming back. Joe Rexroad's a big fan of the Chicago White Sox.
Wow. Did I take too much time getting my coffee?
Yeah, you can't make fun of the White Sox because you missed the song, because you were late.
I'm sorry, guys. I really am excited about this rant, too. This is so weird. That never happens. What happened?
Oh, it happens.
I was like, I'm never late.
Doesn't happen much. All right. So today I need to have a feud with Paul Kaharsky in public. It's time to bring this public.
Let's do it.
It kind of became public on Twitter. on Saturday, okay? But this goes back 5 years. So, quick background. The Titans played in London against the Chargers, you know, in 2018. So, Kaharski, you know, our beat writer, Eric Bacharach at the time went. Kaharski, probably about three or four other people were covering the game in London. I think that's Quinn going nuts. Give me 1 second.
We could do that. Thank you very much. Gus and Quinn have infiltrated the Rex Rant once again. Gus and Quinn, a popular topic on the Rex Rant. No question about that.
Yes, they are.
Just unbelievable. Okay, so basically a couple reporters, you know, who cover the Titans on a regular basis tweeted a lot of play-by-play of that game, okay? Never said, hey, I'm in London. Here in London, it's lovely, you know, this time of year. Tweeted play-by-play. At some point, Karski had a meltdown in the press box in London. You know, it's like, why are you pretending to be here when you're not here? You know, so he tweeted some angry thing about people not, you know, pretending like they're there, you know, which I thought was hilarious. So then a few days later, like, I mean, I don't know, a week or two later, like, he tweeted about, like, the World Series, and I quote tweeted in all caps and said, I sure hope you're in the press box there, Paul, yeah. Talk about the World Series game.
Yeah.
So this has been years in the making. Yeah, we've argued back and forth on this, so Saturday, the Titans drafted Wiley out of Cincinnati, and I was waiting to go to the Titans draft room until after Caroline, she had a play, so I'm like, I'm going to the play, and then I'll go later for the press conference and all that. So they drafted him, and I just tweeted like, hey, here, Josh Wiley drafted, you know, tight end, here's what Brugler said about him, sent a tweet out, went to Caroline's play. Kaharski tweets, you know, you going to come here? And I was like, Joe, yeah, you stay out of my affairs. You know, my daughter has a play. And then he starts going in on this, like, you're pretending you're here. Okay. I'm like, so you're telling me, Paul, that you have to be at the Titans facility where you're watching the draft on television like everybody else to tweet about who they draft? So then, and then we go back and forth. I show up at the facility and I start swearing at him. And it's great. It's great. So then yesterday, we're in the press conference, and I don't even remember which player. It was someone before Tannehill. And another report, because I don't need to bring other people into this. This will be me and Paul arguing, okay?
Okay.
Another reporter who you know, covers the Titans and some other teams, you know, tweets a tweet about like something that like Aaron Brewer said. Yeah, I think it was Brewer. Like Aaron Brewer said he's going to play center. That, again, wasn't like here at the press conference. I looked in Aaron Brewer's eyes and he told me I'm going to be center next year. No, it was just a tweet about I'm going to play center next year. Kaharski like, he shows me the phone of the tweet and he seriously says, you don't have a problem with this? And I'm like, no, idiot. I don't have a problem with it. I went to the entire press conference yesterday. I'm like, everybody in here, does anyone in here agree with Kaharski? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you agree with Kaharski that this is some problem that you tweet about things that you're not right in the room for. Again, if you misrepresent yourself, that's fine. I agree. So you should not misrepresent yourself and say you're somewhere you're not.
Right.
But if you're just saying, this is what he said, this happened, they drafted this guy, whatever, the Titans got a big first down on 3rd and 9 in London, why is this such a freaking huge deal for Paul Kaharski? I'm sick of it, and so I had to bring it public today.
Well, I think...
Enough, Kaharski!
I want to say that on this very program, you two have had a discussion similar to this before. And
oh, did we?
Okay. I think so. And I think it was, you know, basically at the root of it, and I think the London example was brought up, but I think at the root of it was, you know, he had, you know, sponsors that were paying for him to go out there in London, and sure, that's what, you know, he wanted those sponsors to be rewarded with coverage, I think is what it was.
Okay, well, they are, and you were there. So, like, because some other reporter tweets about the game – like, again, like, this is what I countered him with Well, so for example, I tweeted at Mike Herndon. Love Mike Herndon, friend of the show. Actually, I've been meaning to text Herndon to so he realizes that I'm just like messing with Kaharski here. But Mike Herndon had a lot of tweets about the draft this weekend. He does a great job of writing about the Titans. He writes for Kaharski's site now. And I tweeted at Herndon, I'm like, Mike, I need you to delete all your tweets because Kaharski says you have to be in the Titans facility watching on the television in the Titans facility to talk about this draft. And then Kaharski's like, well, he never said he was here. Like, so everybody else announces their presence? Hello, here's a tweet I have about Will Levis. And by the way, I right now I'm standing by the coffee maker in the Titans facility. I'm very close to the Titans making their picks.
Geotag,
so close,
this
I can
thing,
almost
man.
Hear. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's inane. It's ridiculous. Yes, if someone misrepresents themselves, we can all agree. You can't pretend you're somewhere you're not. Okay, you shouldn't put a dateline on your story that says, you know, London. If you weren't in London, you shouldn't pretend to be there. But just tweeting about things that happen. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, if anybody out there agrees with Kaharski, I'm fine. Let me know.
I'm trying to decide.
I couldn't find anyone in the media room yesterday who agreed with him.
I'm trying to decide which feuds I enjoy more. Is it you and Jared feuding or is it you and PK feuding? Like, both of them are good. And I'm trying to decide which one I enjoy more. Like, Nate on the text line says, do we think PK and Jared get on Joe's nerves on purpose to get a rise out of him and get mentioned on y'all's show? This is from Nate on the text line.
Oh, for sure. To try to get a rise out of Joe. Just like you guys make fun of the Bears in Kentucky, and it makes me so mad.
Yeah, but I legitimately
shouldn't be a
make fun
Bears
of
Bears fan.
You are the worst, both of you.
Well, I think Garski and Stillman, again, this is why I'm trying to put them together.
Well, I know.
I'm going to learn how to produce, which will only take about 8 or 9 years to teach me, so that I can produce their show. You know, I mean, that's the dream, is that I can enjoy them every day and then them screaming at each other, me screaming at both of them. I mean, to me, that's just good radio.
I will say on this topic, I think since COVID happened too, people sometimes are required to cover a game or something for their publication or whoever they're working for, but aren't there, which is also a weird concept.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like, well, right, like the 20 season, I went to one road. Some people, like TD and I think PK, they went to most of the road games. I went to the Ravens game, which was, again, like an episode of The Walking Dead. Like, you're in this stadium with no one in it. It was so weird.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all on Zoom. So, yeah, you're right. COVID also sort of changed the, the equation. But, of course, this London thing before that, now we're back into – normalcy, and it's just again, if you agree with Kaharski, let me know. I'm trying to find another human who does.
Trey on the text line says, can you please keep doing the PK voice? Zach in Nashville says, I've been waiting on this rant all week. It lived up to expectations. Also, Mike knows that you're joking, Joe. We laughed about it. Talking about Mike Herndon.
Okay, good. Yeah, I figured, you know, but sometimes people get caught in the crossfire as PK and I screaming at each other. I mean, look, I love him. And just, I love him and Jared, and they give me a lot of joy in life. And sometimes they also get my blood pressure way beyond what it should be.
Tyler says, Joe would be a great producer for PK and Stillman. At least one of them would always be muted. This from Tyler on the text line.
That's a good point.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on the NFL draft and all things NFL as well. Looking forward to that coming up next. Let me tell you about the Nashville Predators. Predators 2023-24 season tickets are on sale now. The Preds will be celebrating their 25th anniversary throughout next season. They've got full half and quarter season plans that are available to you, and you can join the Loyal Legion today and receive the best seat locations at the best pricing, up to 50% off discounts on concessions throughout the season as well, plus a big summer coming up, priority access to the 2023 NHL Draft and awards, both of which are hosted right here in Nashville. You can learn more at NashvillePredators.com/season tickets. Once again, that's NashvillePredators.com/season tickets.